This is Two Point Conversion with BYU Football, where the Cougars from the gridiron share insights and testimony of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ.
Welcome back to another episode of Two Point Conversion. And you're probably wondering what this episode is going to be about, considering we finished the Book of Mormon with Brother Bond last week. Mm-hmm. And we have two of probably the most special guests we could have on the podcast. We have our moms here with us, one of them against their will, but they're here. They're here, and we're going to do a little Christmas episode.
Yeah.
You know, talk about the true meaning of Christmas, Christ's birth, some of the family traditions that we have in both of our families. I'm pretty excited to hear about some of the Roberts family's Christmas traditions.
Yeah.
You know, and how, you know, we can emulate the Savior during the holidays and— You know, get to hear a little bit about some of the best Christmas days or Christmas seasons we've ever had as individuals and in our families. So we're really grateful that you guys both were willing to join us. You know, and just a disclaimer, I'm not going to name who, but one of the moms tends to be a fire hydrant and is very in touch with her emotions. And so there'll probably be some tears shed. If you hear some sniffling on the mic, we're going to do our best to edit out that as much as we can. But no, I'm just teasing. That's my mom. That's why I would never accuse Jessica of being like that, right? Without knowing you well enough.
What I can accuse my mom of, though, is she might take over the discussion and end up... Just kidding.
Come on. No,
that sounds good to me, honestly. That sounds good. I'm more than happy to do that.
Just kidding.
Oh, I love it.
But, all right. Well, can you both talk a little bit about, just give a little background on yourselves? Just kind of introduce yourselves to our listeners. And, Mom, I'll start with you. Just because you have a BYU background and stuff, and that's kind of the primary listening base for us as BYU fans. So you can tell a little bit about our story as a family, you coming here, how you met Dad, all that stuff.
Okay. My name is Gina Pay.
Just kidding.
It really is. I grew up locally here in Pleasant Grove. I did attend BYU, graduated with a degree in public relations and English. Met my husband, Gary, Connor's father, at a intramural softball game.
Nice.
And dated... The whole time we were at BYU, didn't get married till we both graduated, but we did get married and have four children. Our oldest is a girl. She lives in Los Angeles. She's a professional singer. And then I have the three boys, Connor, Trevor, and Austin, who play football and do lots of other things.
Nice.
And I've been a mom for the last 30 years just raising kids. And
she's not going to want to flex, so I'm going to flex for her. She worked for Nu Skin.
Okay.
After graduating college, and she wrote their commercials for ESPN and did a bunch of cool stuff. She's a very corporate woman, I have to say. And she's been the booster president for Lone Peak Football for the last decade and raised millions of dollars for the school. So she's not going to toot her own horn, but I will. And obviously she's been an awesome mom. And for some reason, unknown, she stuck with my dad. The whole time through college. They dated for 3 years. 3 years plus? Three and a half? Three?
Three.
And, you know, my dad was just non-committal, I guess. I don't know. But finally, he pulled the trigger, and thankfully I'm here because of it. But, no, love my parents, and thanks for coming on, Mom.
Awesome. Well, we have something in common. Our husbands played football together at BYU, so we have this connection that maybe some don't know about. And in fact, I brought a little picture of, so way back in the day, they would have like pamphlets or game programs, I guess, that they would hand out before the games. And one year they did a full spread of, they called it the letter women, and it was all the wives of the players. And I thought for sure that you would be on there, but I heard the story
Gary
that it
didn't pull the trigger.
Couldn't pull the trigger, man.
That's because everyone thought we were married. Yeah. In fact, the joke was that I missed three Hawaii trips and that Gary owed me three trips because all the wives got to go. They petitioned the last year to get me to go,
yeah,
but didn't work. I even told Connor this year that I still think I earned it and I should be his plus one. to the Alamo Bowl, but No one's taken me up on my suggestion.
Yeah, I don't think BYU's huge on cohabitation, you know, pre-marriage. So,
so anyway, that's kind of a fun connection that we've had. We've known each other for a long time. So my name's Jessica Roberts, and I grew up in the San Francisco, California Bay Area. And so a little ways from here, I grew up with six siblings, but I also have halves and steps, and we're kind of all over the place, but I love it that way. It was really fun having family everywhere. So I grew up as a sports fan. In fact, some of my earliest memories are of my dad taking me to Golden State Warriors games, and it was when I was super young, and it was in the...
That's my team.
All right. I love it. It was in the Chris Mullin Hardaway days, so that kind of dates me. I actually grew up, I gravitated towards soccer and played soccer for several years, and so, and then had siblings that all played sports throughout my growing up years. And now I'm kind of a bookworm. I love to write and edit and read. I could read my life away. And then I also love hiking. And every once in a while, I can get Chase to come with me as long as I promise to take him to lunch afterwards.
That's right.
So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah, my mom, she gave me the love of sports and being outdoors, the hiking, but the book stuff, definitely not. That's one thing that I don't get from my mom, but she's very, she does love to write. She's an author, actually, so I'm going to kind of flex about my mom. She's an author. She's wrote some really cool books that I've had an opportunity to read. It's one of the few books that I have read. But the biggest thing about my mom is she's an amazing mother, and I think that's, and an amazing wife, too. And that's the biggest thing, and she's been able to raise three awesome kids. And so I just shout out to Jessica and my mom for being such an amazing person. So excited to hear some of her insights. I mean, I've heard them all growing up, and it's why I have a testimony, is really because of my mom. So you'll definitely benefit from some of her insights today.
Agreed. For both of them. Obviously, we're talking about Christmas today and celebrating the birth of the Savior. And the key piece in this entire story is that there was a worthy woman ready to be the mother of the Savior. And I think I'm just curious your guys' thoughts as women and mothers, you know, how you personally connect with this story in regards to Mary and what she went through and being the mother of the Son of God, and at a very young age, and all that, you know, has gone into that, and what she must have been feeling, because I guess having children of your own, you understand a little better than we do on what her feelings might have been. So I'm just kind of curious how you guys connect with this story in that way.
Well, the first thing I thought of when you started talking about Mary was the scripture that says she was most beautiful and fair above all other virgins. That's packed with qualities that are beautiful in a woman, and something that obviously when I was young, I wanted to emulate. And I don't know, I just think of those qualities that she has are like what made her qualify to be the mother of the Savior of the world. And the recipe is right there in those scriptures. And so, I don't know, I just think that's beautiful and something that I've always strived to, you know, want to be like her.
I agree with what Jessica said. I think that Mary gives us kind of, as women, a bar to strive for. And I think one of the things that always has impressed me is that she was willing. I'm sure she felt inadequate and not worthy and stuff. But I think if we've learned anything from her is that, and from our Savior, is that he just wants a willing heart, someone who's willing to show up and be there and do the things that he's asked us to do. And we're all going to be asked to do different things. Just Mary's was a pretty big thing, but each of us in our own lives will be asked. And I think one of the biggest things I've learned from Mary is that we just need to be ready and willing when the Lord calls on us.
You know, I think I kind of posed. Now, I guess my perspective's a little different in considering I'm not a woman. I'm not going to be a mother, right?
But that's why it's so good, I feel like, though, we have women on the episodes yes. now. We haven't had yes. one yet.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
You're our first women on
yeah,
the show.
Let's go. Represent.
It wasn't on purpose, I promise. Like,
No. Of course not.
It just ended up working out this way.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about some of those qualities that you guys mentioned as I was kind of rereading the story. And I think, you know, number one, you know, she was chosen by God, right? She was specifically chosen to be a mother, right? And specifically the mother of Jesus in this case, but you both were chosen by God to be mothers, right? To your specific children for a reason. And I could go on and on about why my mom is specifically my mom, but I think I would be outing myself to some bad behaviors, you know, so I won't go into too much details. And then, you know, her faith and humility, her willingness. Because, I mean, theoretically, she could have said no, I guess, or ran away or did something, right, to try to avoid it. But she kind of
unqualify her to. Yeah.
Right, right. She took it head on.
Mm-hmm.
Right, she took it head on. And, you know, I think also one of the qualities that you mentioned, Jessica, is the same one that I thought of, was that she was a pure and chosen vessel, right? And she was foreordained in God's plan. You know, and that's some of the insight that the Book of Mormon gives us into this story in Mosiah when they're prophesying about the coming of the Savior. It talks about how she was foreordained. And the righteousness she had and the spiritual strength, that kind of sets the stage, right, for this whole Christmas story to be able to take place at all. Right, if Mary had lacked any of those qualities, she wouldn't have qualified to be the mother of the Son of God. And she gave everything for him, and I would say Joseph did as well. And that's, I think, in essence, Mary's character, along with the Savior's character, is kind of at the heart of what the spirit of Christmas is all about, right? That spirit of sacrifice and giving for other people, right? I think oftentimes in our secular world, and I'm definitely guilty of this, I get really excited about, you know, the potential Lego set my parents are going to get me for Christmas. You know, but that's not what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about the spirit of giving, right? And I remember when President Monson talked about that, he said, Christmas is the spirit of giving without a thought of getting. It is happiness because we see joy in other people. It is forgetting self and finding time for others. That is the spirit of Christmas. And I think just the natural character of a mother kind of embodies that. Your natural instinct is to give. It's never to get. You know, and especially in the case of my mom, she almost has like an aversion to getting. She always wants to be giving to other people, you know, because I think, and Mom, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's where you find the most joy and when you're happiest is when you're sacrificing and giving to other people. And I think that's a quality that you've passed down to me. I love this time of year because I get to give gifts to people, you know, and however big or small, right? It could be a simple act of kindness. Mm-hmm. Or it could be a big present or something like that. It takes many forms, but let's talk about that spirit of giving for a minute and kind of what this season and what that overarching theme of the Christmas season has meant to you guys.
I was going to say, I'll share a quick story.
Yeah, please.
That kind of helped me to think about, you know, anytime I reflect upon this story, it helps me remember this time of year and the season of giving and the season of our Savior, right? His birth. When I was in middle school, I remember it was kind of a hard time in my life. I at that particular time, my mom and dad were going through a divorce. And I remember I was in sixth grade and there was this eighth grader and she was really popular and she wasn't very nice to me. And so I was totally scared of her, and I didn't want to go to school. And so just a lot of things were going on that were really hard, and I just felt it was a time in my life when I really felt alone. And I remember one day coming home from school, and obviously with six siblings running all over the place, and I don't know, I just feel like there were a ton of people always in the house. There wasn't really a place for me to go to be by myself, but I remember I went into the bathroom, and I just needed a good cry because I just didn't feel good. And so I remember I got on the floor in that little bathroom and I just wept. I was just sad. And for a couple minutes, I just sat there crying. And after a while, I felt this really warm blanket, this warmth just kind of come into that little room. And I knew without a doubt that it was my Savior. And I just, I felt this complete connection. Like, it's kind of where I started developing my relationship with him. But, and I obviously, I didn't hear him say anything, but I felt him kind of whisper to my spirit, or, you know, to me, I am always here and you're never alone. And I'll be here right beside you for the rest of your life. And it was the coolest, most comforting feeling that I've ever felt. And I think that's kind of what tethers me to the gospel of Jesus Christ, is my relationship with him, knowing that he was born just, you know, in the same way that I was. He had to be baptized. He experienced life's stuff just like I have. And so because of that, he can completely succor me. And I have no doubt about that. I'm super confident. And so I guess in answer to your question, during this time of year, I think about that relationship with him and what I can do to glorify that. And it always brings me back to doing what he did for me, serving others, making sure they're not alone in their trials and, you know, the hard stuff in life. And so that's just kind of what I think of my relationship with him and how I want to glorify him during this time of year.
Thank you, Jessica, for sharing that. That's awesome. I know. Chase knows this just from a previous episode. I had a very similar bathroom experience on my mission. So I can feel those feelings. As you were telling the story, it brought back a lot of memories. But
I think we all have our own bathroom experiences.
It's true.
Yeah, no doubt. Everyone.
What about you, Mom?
I loved your story, Jessica, and I love that you talked about the relationship, because I feel like the gospel is truly about relationships. Our relationship with God and with others, and we see how important it is in the two great commandments are love God and love your neighbor. And I love the quote you gave from President Monson. He's one of my favorite. And if it's okay, I just want to share this fun story he told that kind of, I love to read it every Christmas because it kind of makes me laugh and grounds me. And he shared, for many, this Christmas season will be filled with rushing, hurrying, and milling around department stores, feet aching, heart throbbing, nerves frazzled. No wonder the little girl who was praying, "Forgive us our trespasses," got confused and said, "Forgive us our Christmases." Sometimes we need to be forgiven for our Christmases. We simply leave no room for Jesus. President Monson continues, "Do we experience a pang of conscience as we recall his own words? Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And I just feel like in our busy lives, we're competing with so many things. It's just essential that we make a conscious effort to bring Christ into our lives and to make room for him. Because when we make room for him, that extends beyond us, because not only do we draw closer to him as we are filled with his light, but that light emanates and shines for others as well, and helps them see the light of Christ, which I think is so important all year round, but especially at this time of year. And I love that we are reminded this time of year and can really focus on that.
Yeah, no, I think I'm going to hold my tongue for a sec because we're gonna get to it, but I can share a lot of ways that my mom embodies those things during the Christmas season. But kind of in conjunction with this, I feel like, you know, getting in the spirit of Christmas, that spirit of giving, honoring the Savior, his birth, everyone has some form, big or small, of family traditions that they do around Christmas, whether that's about celebrating Christmas itself or focused on the Savior. We kind of do both. What are some Christmas traditions in the Roberts household?
I'm gonna let my mom take over and share some. She's got some awesome ones that I was fortunate to be a part of.
Okay, well, the first one that I thought of when you said Christmas tradition is, and I think everybody kind of does this in some form, and we label it Sub for Santa, right? And in our home, we tried to do something a little bit unique every year so that we could, you know, make it special, make it stand out for that particular year. And this particular year, we decided to give an anonymous gift to someone, and each person was to choose that person and that specific gift. And so we told our kids, hey, you can just pick anyone that you want to and give an anonymous gift to, and here's the budget for that specific gift. So I remember Chase's younger brother, Trey, for example, he chose to make a personalized Christmas card and put some money in it and give it to a man, an older man that we would see in the Walmart parking lot all the time. And he was always on the corner in his little wheelchair. He was a veteran. And he kind of looked like Santa Claus. And I think maybe that's why, because Trey was younger at the time, maybe that's why Trey chose to give it to him. But we had some correspondence with this man in the past, just as we, you know, would drive by or walk by or whatnot. But so Trey chose to give this personalized card and some money to this man. And I think it was a touching experience for Trey to do that. I remember him coming back into the car with a big smile on his face. And I loved that he had the opportunity to feel what Christmas is truly about, that giving that, you know, that we've been talking about at that particular year. Chase, do you remember what you did for that?
Yeah, I do. I remember this was junior high, I believe. And there was a girl who would come to class with the same pants on, and they were super ripped, kind of like these tights that
stretch pants,
yeah, that were ripped, and she'd come with the same ones every day. And this was like a week. You gave us a week to kind of look for people and to look for something that we could do. And I remember just every day just thinking about this girl, and you could tell she might have had a rough upbringing. And and so I felt the need to get her a present and wish her a Merry Christmas. So we got her some stretch pants and some boots and some just bunch of fun little things, little gifts for girls. And I remember the next day after I gave her the present, she was wearing the stretch pants. And then the next day she was wearing the same ones. And you could tell she didn't say anything. She didn't... she was really quiet and wasn't super interactive, you know, and but I knew she was grateful, and I knew she felt the light of Christ and the Christmas spirit, and it was a special experience for me.
I'm going to roast you a little bit, because I remember after he had this package, and it was wrapped really cute and, you know, a little paper bag.
I don't know what it's called.
He came home. He was going to give it to her that day, and he came home with the package, and I was like, what happened? He's like, Mom, I can't just go up to her and be like, Merry Christmas. Here's a gift from me to you. And he's like, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to give it to her. Like, do I just leave it on her desk? And I'm like, dude, just figure it out. It's what you chose. And I was proud of him. I think you ended up just giving it to her, right?
Uh-huh. Like, yeah. Yep.
So, good job.
And it was a great experience. No, thanks, Mom.
Coward.
I've gotten better. No, I've, yeah.
Now you have no problem going up to random people. Right? No. We do it all the time.
That's right. I did it for 2 years, so better be good at it.
That's true. Well, Mom, you want to talk about some of our family traditions around Christmas?
Sure. Okay. I love that tradition. And similarly, we have done that where we've done some for Santas or chosen a family. There's usually some aspect of service, but I think probably hands down... the favorite tradition at our house is that we act out the nativity. And we've done it for 30 years in our immediate family, but it's been going on in my husband's family for 30 years prior to that and maybe beyond that. And it's just something we've always done. And we started out with just Gary and I. And then as we had kids, they were brought in and shepherds, and then they fought over who was going to be Mary and Jesus as our family got bigger. And we've done this for almost 30 years with our extended family. And so now the cousins have been Mary and Joseph and shepherds and Phi, and they've just grown up doing this, and it's just really bonded our family together and kept that spirit of Christmas alive and what it really, how important it is. And there's only been a couple years where the whole family, extended family, hasn't been able to be together. In fact, this year when we found out, when the team was traveling to the bowl game, I immediately started getting texts from my nieces and nephews that, can we move it? We have to all be together. Oh. So we're now going to be doing it on the 22nd. And I was a little bit like, wait, but it's not Christmas Eve. And then I just thought in my head, no, it's not about the date. It's about the people and what you're doing in the spirit and what you feel together. So I think, Connor, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's probably hands down our favorite.
Yep.
For what it represents to our family and just to our lives, that we can honor the Savior and focus on Him.
Yeah, and it sucks now that everyone's growing up, because we were really unique in the sense that both sides of my family, my mom's side and my dad's side, got along really well. And so we did this tradition together, both sides of the family, every year. And now that everyone's getting older, getting married, having kids of their own, now a bunch of other families are involved. And so now it's harder for everyone to be together all at the same time, you know, but it's still the number one thing I think of when I think of Christmas is the nativity scene that we do together. And even Big Tree, Caleb was a part of it last year, spent Christmas with us.
Really?
He was, he was the innkeeper. Relax, Mom.
I know.
My mom's been shooting me looks this entire time to make sure I don't say stupid things.
I have to interject and roast him, though, because Jessica agreed to roast.
Let's go.
I know I don't wish this were on TV, on video, but I do wish so that I could put up the picture of Connor's greatest role ever he reprised in the Nativity. So everyone DM him and tell him that he has to send you the picture of when he was the angel Gabriel. And the look on his face says it all, because we not only acted out, we full on have the costume bin. And they're not professional. They're kind of, we make up our own, but he was full on in the angel Gabriel dress. And so everyone needs to DM him and ask for the picture.
There's context to this. I was upset because for one, I was forced to do it, and for two, that outfit was extremely tight and I'm obviously an overweight person, so it did not look good. It was like a tank top, like this dress thing. It was I was quite unhappy, and someone, I don't know who it was, did you take the picture? Who took the picture?
I'm sure it wasn't me.
But someone caught a picture of me looking to the side, just pissed. Just so angry.
Bringing glad tidings of great joy.
Yes, yes. See, yeah, I wasn't even good for the role. I didn't even bring the proper spirit.
I actually am a little sad, though, that we have to be in Texas. It's going to be exciting to be in Texas for Christmas and to be able to play football still and play a bowl game against Colorado. It's going to be a blast. But really, Christmas, I want to be with my family. I want to act out the nativity scene. But I loved what you said when you were talking about, we're going to do it on the 22nd. You know, we're going to get together. It's not about necessarily that it's on Christmas Eve, but that we get together and that we focused on Christ. And that's what Christmas is all about. Christ is the center, and it brings everyone together. And what an amazing time. And I think as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Christmas is our life. It's not an event. You know, it's a time that we get to focus on honoring our Savior, which should be the focal point of our daily life. So we are living Christmas every single day. And I guess what a great way to start the year. It's not the beginning of the year, but you can develop habits to put Christ at the center of your life before we set our New Year's resolutions. You know, a lot of the times we start our New Year's resolutions and we go for a month or two, and let's just develop that habit now to make Christ at the center, to be together with our family and make that a priority throughout the next year, throughout 2025.
Well, isn't it cool too that we have this season that centers us so much, and everyone's thinking about it, everyone's reminding it, and all it's getting us to do is fulfill our baptismal covenants.
Yeah, exactly. What a great way to end the year.
You know, that's all we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a recenter and a refocus on what we should be committing to do and how we should be committing to act on a weekly basis when we partake of the sacrament. Is that not what we're committing to do?
Exactly. Right?
You know, and it's, you know, it's when you think about it in that context, it's kind of like, ugh, you know, like, man, why do I only feel so strongly to act this way during the Christmas season? You know, why don't I feel this way all the time? And maybe that's, you know, maybe that's something that I need to improve on. Mm-hmm. You know, how do I feel that all the time, you know?
I have a little thought just to piggyback off of the last three comments. When you were talking about the nativity, it reminded me of, you know, we always read out of Luke 2, right? And anytime we do that, and, you know, we've done the nativity probably not as consistently as you, but every once in a while we'll do that in our family. And out of all the verses that I read in Luke, I think the one that always stands out to me most is when it talks about the shepherds in the field. And first of all, they were the first ones to receive the news that the Savior had been born. And that in itself is pretty cool that the humble, right? You usually think of shepherds as humble and meek. And I think that's kind of a little, you know, something in and of itself. But the angel appears and says that the Savior's been born. And it says, let us go now to see the Savior. And then the next verse says, they went in haste. And that always stands out to me. And I just think it's so awesome that all throughout the scriptures, you kind of see that same pattern, that true disciples of the Savior, they act immediately. And I guess why I bring that up is I think, especially during this time of year, this Christmas season, I feel like we're being bombarded with little promptings to serve others. And I think it's just the way it works because we're more in tune, maybe because we're celebrating the Savior's birth. I feel like if not daily, I mean, if not sometimes daily, sometimes hourly, you feel these promptings like, oh, I should probably call this person, or maybe I can pay for that person in front of me, or how can I make this person feel special? And kind of what you were talking about, Chase, it's something that we can focus on being his disciples and actually following the promptings of the Spirit immediately, like a true disciple would. Throughout the whole year, we could take that little anecdote for, you know, being a true disciple and start applying that in our life and following the promptings. How much more impactful of a disciple would we be? And, you know, how much more awesome would our life be if we did that throughout the year?
I love that. I love Luke 2. And we have done that tradition. I feel like it was easier as little kids to be able to dress up as the angel Gabriel, you know. But it's hard now that everyone's getting older, and but we can still read Luke 2. I feel like that's a great tradition that we could keep. Kind of staying in Luke 2 and following what you were saying, Mom, about becoming like the Savior. I love at the end of Luke 2, and it talks about, it's a very short part of Jesus's life, I guess represented in the scriptures. It's a big part of his life, but it's in one verse at the very end saying, Jesus grew in wisdom. This is one of the few verses that talks about his younger life. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And I love this scripture so much. And it helps me, especially during this Christmas time, as I strive to become like him. And as we're going to school, as we're working out for football, and as we're studying the scriptures, preparing for our podcasts, and also doing other things, attending the temple and then socially. And I think this scripture like emphasizes each point that we're going through as people, that the Savior had to go through the same thing. In wisdom, he probably went to school. In stature, he worked out, you know, he needed to get bigger and stronger. And then in favor with God, he studied his scriptures. He went to church, you know, he did the things he needed to. And then in favor with man as well, he was very in tune with being socially active and being able to change other people's lives. And I love the simplicity of that. And like you were saying, Mom, when you were comforted by that blanket, you were able to understand him and knew that he went through what you went through, and he grew up the way you grew up, and he was born in humble circumstances, and maybe circumstances that you didn't want, you know, your parents splitting and a crazy lifestyle, you know, moving all around, but being able to feel that comfort and having the Savior hug you and know that he had to go through the same things. and another scripture in D&C that came to mind. And it's John's talking. He said that he saw Christ, that he did not receive the fullness at first, but received grace for grace. And then he received not the fullness at first, but continued from grace to grace until he received a fullness. And thus he was called the Son of God, because he received not the fullness at first. And as we strive to become like Christ, we can understand that he had to grow grace by grace, as do we. That just ties us more to him and to this Christmas season. And what a great opportunity to do that during this time.
And I think, too, just to piggyback off that, that grace for grace, you've already shared experiences where you can be that grace for someone else in their life. You can be that vessel or that person that you can be the hand of God for somebody else, right? And I think, you know, one thing, not to embarrass my mom a little bit, but one of the things that she does every Christmas is, you know, she doesn't ask for any presents. You know, she asks my dad for the budget to make these Christmas boxes every year. And you probably saw, I brought a few into the facility. She makes them for the offensive line. It's got all kinds of homemade stuff in it. What's all in there? There's just list just them stuff. Off. You know,
you know, you've done it for basics. Years.
Just
stuff.
List them
Toffee,
off.
Coffee, fudge. Bonbons,
cookies,
you know,
these caramel covered pretzel things.
I didn't get a box basket. Last year. What's that,
Chase?
All
sorry,
you got to bulk up and be on the online.
But no, all of this is homemade. And how many are you making this year? Almost 300?
No, a couple hundred.
Okay, that's almost 300.
Oh, yeah, no,
and these boxes are big. They're like a foot by a foot, you know, just stuffed full of stuff. She starts in October, you know, baking and storing things, and none of it's for her. You know, every single thing outside of what me and my brothers and my dad steal goes to somebody else. Right, goes to somebody else, and I'm not in the house anymore, so I don't participate in this directly anymore. But I distinctly remember growing up almost every night throughout the whole month of December. Okay, mom's got this batch of boxes done. We're gonna go deliver them, you know, to friends and family, and you know, that's been a tradition, you know, in our family. So I don't know how long have you been doing that.
30 years.
Yeah. Wow. And it's pretty awesome. And as much as I probably complained and groaned that I had to go drive around at night in the cold and run things up to people's porches that I didn't know that well, I didn't want to talk to them, but you know, I distinctly remember those nights driving around, delivering those boxes.
As you guys have all been talking, if I can just share a couple thoughts I've had this thought going around in my mind, even before I was in do this podcast, that really, just Jesus, he just showed up. This word show up has just been on my mind for like the last several months. And everything, when I'm reading the scriptures, I'm just like, he just showed up. He showed up when it was hard. He showed up when it was good. He showed up. He just showed up. And it's like, I got to show up. Like, I got to be better about showing up. For the Savior, for myself, for other people. And as I was thinking about this, I was just like, we are asked to do a lot of things in the gospel, but I love how the prophets have told us the Lord loves effort. And I think the way we can show effort is to just show up. And what does showing up look like? It means we attend church when we don't feel like it, when we've come off a long flight after a game and might not want to go. We attend the temple when life is busy. We help those in need when it's not convenient. We accept challenging callings. We are all in and on board, even though we might have questions. We notice other needs. We do this podcast because we should never give up an opportunity to share our testimony of the Savior, even though we don't want to. And I've just had so many people in my life that have shown up. And just been such a good example of the Savior. You know, I think of a family coming to church the day after their son was in almost a life ending accident. And they had spent the whole day at Primary Children's, and there they were. The next morning, the whole family at church, and I literally sobbed because I was like, would I be at church after this big thing? But I think they needed to show up for themselves, but I also think they needed to show up for the Savior, and they needed to show up for me because that was such an example to me of that's what you do. You show up in this gospel. And I think of all the young men that do the sacrament, and a lot of them, that is hard for them. Some of them, we have a couple that they have speech impediments and reading's hard, and they show up every week and do those, give the sacrament prayer for themselves, but for me, so that I can have that, you know, that partake of the sacrament and renew my covenants and have that repentance process that week. And there's just so many examples. I think of a sweet young woman who asked, going through a family crisis, who reached out to her young women's class and just, can you pray for me? Asking them to show up for her, and a couple siblings attending church when all their other siblings have left the church. A widower showing up on Sunday every week after his wife passes away. How many times has someone smiled at you and lifted you up when you know their world is crumbling? Mm-hmm. But there they are, showing up. It's just such a blessing in our lives for me when people show up. And I just feel like if we can just show up, we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be, and we're not always going to do it right. But if we can just show up, I just think it makes the biggest difference in our life. And that's what this gospel is about, really, is just showing up, especially for our Savior, for ourselves, for others. And I'll quickly end. I know I'm taking a lot of time. But showing up, anyone can show up. Little kids show up. When they go up and they bear their testimonies, they're showing up for the Savior. They want him to know they love him. One of my favorite stories about Connor was he was about six. Were you six or seven? And Trevor was two.
I was the
primary president, and his older sister had a lesson in young women, so she couldn't watch Trevor. Trevor was really, really sick, and I had to be in primary. I was in charge. I was doing sharing time. I had to be at church. I had to show up to church, but that meant I had to leave behind my sick child. Well, as all good mothers do, I left my six-year-old with the two-year-old to watch him while he was sick, and I'm like, I'm just going to go for the first hour, and then I'll check in and make sure everything's okay.
I think I was a little older.
Well, Trevor was two, so you were like seven. You were six. You were seven, maybe six or seven.
Was Trev two?
Yeah, six or seven. Yeah, he was young. You might have looked like you were 12, but you were young.
Ouch.
And as course as sometimes mothers can do, I got distracted and didn't check in after the hour. And this was when we had 3-hour church, and literally it was in the third hour. All of a sudden, I was like, panicked. I'm like, oh my gosh, Connor's at home and he's taking care of this two-year-old who's throwing up and is super sick. And here I am just trying to show up at church, but not showing up for my kid. And I frantically called Connor, and he just in this happiest voice said, Mom, you don't need to worry. Trevor's thrown up two or three times, but it's okay. I took his clothes off. I gave him a bath. I've put the clothes in the washer, and I've made him a little sick bed so that if he throws up, he has a special place. And just went on and on. And I just literally, I mean, I was stunned and started, you know, crying because I'm a crier. And just like Connor showed up for me. And that was huge. That was such a blessing in my life. So I think showing up takes all different forms, and it really, I don't know. It's just a thought I've been having that we just need to show up.
I love that idea of showing up. Just a mantra that you can repeat over and over. I need to show up for this person, for that person. So thanks for sharing that. I'm going to think about that a lot this week. I just have two quick thoughts. First, I have to go back to the boxes, and I hope it doesn't detract from the spirit, but I really admire you being able to do all those boxes. And first of all, for the sacrifice. And I know, Connor, you talked about that. That is so time consuming, starting in October and freezing the candy. And that's overwhelming to me. And second, just I'm so grateful that there are moms out there that have those skills. Chase, you can't say anything about my cooking. But I just admire that. So thanks for sharing that. And then the other thought that I had is sometimes, and it goes along with what we're talking about a little bit, but sometimes we think that when we give a monetary gift to someone, like Connor was talking about, that you do anonymously, we think that we have to be embarrassed, or we don't want to make anybody feel lesser than or silly or whatnot. But I've been on the receiving end of that when I was younger. We were super poor. And I remember this was Thanksgiving. Someone left Thanksgiving dinner on our porch and just knocked and ran. And I came out and I was probably, I don't know, maybe freshman, sophomore in high school. So, you know, not too young. But when I saw that Thanksgiving dinner, I was so happy. I'm like, I was the one that opened the door and I was like, Mom, look what someone did. I was so excited. And I didn't think anything about, you know, feeling lesser than or like it was something silly or to be embarrassed by. I was so happy. Mm-hmm. And so I think we need to remember that maybe you as a giver might feel a certain way, but when someone is on the receiving end, it's an incredibly wonderful feeling that you were in someone's thoughts and that someone was able to sacrifice for you. So I think we have to remember that side and not worry. Just give, you know, when you can, if and when you can.
I love the scripture in Matthew 25, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And anytime we go out of our way to serve, we're serving the Lord, and we're bringing him closer to us. And and don't be embarrassed. Don't be, you know.
Absolutely.
And then also on the other side, as we give gifts grudgingly and give them, you know, without love, then we kind of talked about this last time, then it's like we never gave it. So doing it with gratitude, with love, and with the Savior in mind is the key.
Thank you guys for sharing. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, you guys are awesome.
And
she shared a story about her son showing up. Do you want to share?
<I'm just kidding.
laughs> Go on, Connor.
Yeah. I got you. I have a story about you showing up. Come on, wow. Your mom. If anyone can brag
Chase
about
Chase had to go
that's
fishing.
Right. You go.
Had to go fishing for a story.
Here's a story about Chase, and a real quick one, and it's been a great example to me. So when Chase was in high school, he played football at American Fork, and of course we know Connor was on the other team. No, I'm just kidding.
American Fark.
Connor was on Lone Peak, and anyway, it was let me back up. So every Friday, it's Friday Night Lights, right? And the community showed up. Like, it was big time. I love this Utah area because there's so many people that support the sport of football and come to the games. So it's so much fun.
It is.
It truly is Friday Night Lights. But anyway, every Friday, probably starting junior year, but definitely all senior year, Chase on Thursday night would say, "Hey, Mom, I'm waking up in the morning and going to the temple." Before the game, like before school, and then of course the game was that night. And I would always say to him every time, "Can you not go to the temple like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday? You know, you need your rest. You're in the game the entire time. You need your rest. You're gonna get sick, like mom always does." But he would listen to me talk, but he. Every single Friday morning, he would wake up at 4:45 during football season and go to the temple before the game. And I just thought, you know, first of all, what a wonderful example to me of putting the Savior before anything and, you know, come what may, right, in the game. But and then one cool little experience, he had a, like I said, he played for American Fork, and he had a buddy in our ward that played for Lone Peak. And on this particular Friday, they were matched up together. They were going to play together. And Chase called this buddy who played defense for Lone Peak and said, "Hey, you want to go to the temple with me before the game?" And so they both went to the temple together before they played against each other, Chase mm-hmm. on offense and Jared on defense. And I think that was pretty special for him to have that, you know, sociality and friendship before they met on the battlefield, I guess. But that they're... There we go. There's a story about Chase.
That's awesome.
No, great Mom, example. I was joking. Come on, you don't have to share that.
I was joking.
Mom, yeah. I was kidding. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a better man than me. I don't even want to see the opponent's face, let alone go to the temple with him.
He has a little bit of that in him too. Right? You get that game face on once the whistle blows.
No, thanks, Mom. Love you.
Okay, last thing. Give both of you a chance to share one more thing. We want to hear what your best Christmas in your lifetime has been. We'll give each of you a chance to share a story, and then we'll close with testimonies.
Awesome. Okay. By far the best Christmas we did was in 2016. We gave up our Christmas and spent 2 weeks on a humanitarian trip in Guatemala. Ooh. Now, I don't think we have to do these kind of trips to experience what we experienced, but I can honestly say that I have never felt closer to the Savior or seen his countenance reflected in so many people's lives than when we were there. And I'll just quickly share three quick stories, if that's okay. I'll make them short.
Yeah.
Well, there's really three main things I took away from this trip. And honestly, I didn't have to be in Guatemala to do this. We just happened to be there. But one was this concept of unconditional love. Two, that the Lord truly does look upon the heart. And three, am I willing to give everything I have? So first story is we met this boy named Alfredo who was obsessed with Connor. He loved him so much. He was 9 years old. I don't know that he had slept in a bed or even been home in months.
Such a good kid.
We went 10 hours into the, I don't know, Connor, what would you call it? The jungle, the whatever, no services, whatever. And the kids there just basically went out and tried to work all day long and then just probably slept on the side of the road and tried to shine shoes, do whatever they could. And this was very typical of kids their age. And so they were kind of on their own for food. You knew they really didn't eat. They probably had gone days at times without eating and stuff. Well, we kind of hooked up and he kind of attached to the group we were with. And we were able to go to church and the leader of our group had brought her seven children, a brand new baby to like 16-year-old on this humanitarian trip. And they sat in a row, her and her husband, these seven kids, and then she had Alfredo and then his buddy Abram. They came to church with us. And as all moms do, she had her little bag full of snacks because she had her seven children. And I watched as she first pulled out a bag of nuts to give to Alfredo to eat because she was a nutritionist and she had talked about, she was very concerned about these guys' nutrition because they just didn't eat because they didn't have food and they were so poor. She handed him the bag of nuts and he immediately, I mean, you knew it was without a thought. He immediately opened it, took one and started passing down the row to all the kids. And then you could see that the leader of our group was like, oh, wow, okay. So then she gave him a granola bar and said, here, eat this. He opened the granola bar and broke it into a number of pieces as there were, took one and handed all the pieces and passed them down the row so that everyone. Now, mind you, we had just come from having a ginormous breakfast and they had eaten. But Alfredo, who hadn't eaten, he was just so concerned that everyone got it and he just wasn't concerned about himself. And I was just like, I just had the thought go through my mind, just, man, become like a little child, become and a child shall lead the way. All these thoughts, there he was being the best example. And I, you know, at his age, that was just amazing to me. That was just so amazing. Another experience we had, and I'm going to throw myself under the bus in full, you know, got to be equal here. I'm going to throw myself under the bus on this one. We also had the opportunity to go to another meeting that while we were there. We had to go to two Sundays. And we didn't really have church clothes. We did the best we had. The boys had white shirts. So they showed up in the meeting. They were in their white, dirty shirts because we had been doing service all week and their Nike shorts. So we walk in and we're just trying to be there and just, you know, partake of the sacrament and feel the spirit and stuff. And the bishop came up to us and to the boys and asked the boys if they could pass the sacrament. And I panicked. I was like, oh, no, they can't. I mean, look at him. And he spoke Spanish. And so Gary was trying to talk to him. I'm like, no, they're not. They don't look. And I can honestly say I have never had this experience in my life. He looked at me and his eyes just bore through me. And while talking to my boys, he stayed looking at me, but he said, "Are you two worthy?" And they said, "Yes, we are." And he never took his eyes off of me. And he said, "That is all that matters." Mm-hmm. And I have never been slightly more embarrassed or humbled to just have this man say, "That is what matters." And that experience changed my life of how I look at a lot of things, of people in the church, and how, you know, the Lord looketh on the heart. That's what matters. And then quickly, the third one is we had the opportunity to do a lot of things, but one of them was build chicken coops for a family. And they had to go up and down this big hill and carry cement. And it was pretty hard work. And Alfredo and Abram helped. And after a long day, the mom of the family we were helping made a meal, which it was tortilla, which is what they usually eat. They live on tortilla and tortilla water. That's basically what they live on. But she had her son go and get eggs, and she made eggs for us. Well, we weren't with him, but when Connor came home that night, the lady of the group said, "Man, I hope you guys appreciate what this sister did for you to thank you for your help." And we were like, "Oh, you know, yeah, she gave us tortillas and eggs," kind of just flippantly, like, "Yeah, we had tortillas and eggs." And she says, "Well, I hope you understand that only wealthy people get eggs." She goes, "She just gave away a month's salary, and her 5-year-old will now go work for the next month to try and make back the money that it will take because she gave you eggs, because she wanted to give you the best, because you had given her something and she wanted to repay it." And I just had the thought go through my mind, man, would I do that? Would I give? I mean, what would the equivalent of that be to me? I don't even know. You know, would I sell my house? Would I give up? But would I give all? And really, the Savior has asked us to give all. And that was just such a great example to me of just giving your all. What am I willing to give? Am I willing to give everything? That was probably the best Christmas because it just encapsulated everything about the gospel to me and for my kids and family to experience that. And when we asked the kids, "What was your favorite thing or what did you learn the most?" And they said, "Man, we learned that you can be happy no matter what, because this was a happy people." Why were they happy? Well, you can figure it out by the experiences I shared of how they lived their lives and the focus. And Connor, I feel like we got to mention his favorite quote apparently in this podcast. You know, the joy in our life has nothing to do with our circumstances. And everything to do with our focus. And it's so true.
It's true. I'm happy all the time, right, Chase?
No, you are.
You've never seen me angry before.
No, never. That quote, though, is that, you do quote that every podcast.
That's why I had to throw it in there.
It's applicable in like every situation.
You have to share.
I literally try not to, and it's like I can't help it. Yeah. But thanks, Mom. All right, Jessica.
Well, dang, I was just listening to your stories that I was gonna, while you were talking, try to think of one of our special Christmases, but I was so entrenched in your stories that I couldn't really think of one. But I hope this doesn't change the trajectory of this incredible theme about Christmas and giving. But I thought maybe I would just kind of end my thoughts with something that I think about a lot during Christmas time. And I think something that we've been talking about in our family lately, like over the course of the past month or two. Mm-hmm. And that's the second coming of the Savior. Mm-hmm. I love talking about the second coming. It's like one of my favorite things to delve into and to try to think of all the signs and which ones have taken place and when we think he's going to come. And it just excites me. And so I was talking with Chase's younger brother, Trey. He's serving a mission right now in Bolivia. And he recently shared this little story with me. He said a general authority came to his mission. And in preparation for the visit, the general authority asked all the missionaries to read 2 specific talks before he came. And Trey said that some of them dove in and studied. Some just read the 2 talks. And then some didn't do anything at all, didn't read them. And Trey said it was interesting to note that those that he knew hadn't read, or I guess they were kind of talking before the general authority came, and the ones that hadn't read were super nervous. They're like,
I'm just going to put my head down and not look at the general authority because what if he asks me a question and I'm clueless because I didn't do the readings? And Trey said, when the general authority got there, he didn't once talk about the readings. He didn't ask any questions about them. He didn't reference them at all. Mm. And for Trey, he said reading the talks did three things for him. First, he learned so much from the talks, right? He was able to learn some principles and, you know, like talks always the benefit of reading talks, right? The second thing, he was being obedient. And so he felt peaceful because of that obedience. And the third thing he said is he wasn't worried like some of the other ones were that hadn't read the talk. He could just relax and listen to everything the general authority had to say. And I think this totally applies to when the Savior comes. If we're striving to keep his commandments and do those things that he's asked us to do to stay close to the Spirit, you know, the primary answers, read our scriptures and attend our church meetings and try to magnify our callings and attend the temple when we're able, then when he comes again, we will likewise be prepared. And referring back to those three things, as we do what he asks us to do, we'll have learned so much. One, you know, be edified by those things that we participate in and in our scripture study. And two, we'll have been obedient. And we know that obedience always brings blessings. And three, we won't be worried when he comes. We'll have a feeling of peace and we'll feel prepared. And of course, none of us are perfect. And, you know, I look back over the week and think of all the mistakes and, you know, what I could have done better. And but that's the beauty of the Savior. He makes up the rest. And so I think that's kind of the secret sauce, or no, that doesn't make sense. That's that's the secret recipe. There we go. to the second coming. And to kind of piggyback off that, I was thinking about what would it look like if this Christmas the Savior came? Like, what if our neighbors, Christmas morning, we heard them yelling on the streets, "He's here! He's here!" how would that change Christmas? What would that do to, you know, our focus that morning? I'm so grateful for this time of year when we can, as it's been said, recenter our lives and on him, his birth, and then, you know, Easter time, his death and resurrection, which is right around the corner, and then the second coming. And anyways, those are some of my thoughts.
Thanks, Mom, for sharing that. Me and Connor are just going to end with our testimonies. And just piggybacking off what you guys have said and your testimonies of Christ. Thank you for sharing. I'm just so grateful for you two, the opportunity that we've had to have you two on, my mom and Connor's mom. What a great opportunity, and the Spirit has been super strong. I just want to bear my simple testimony of you know, the excitement that I have for Christmas, but because of Christ. And I love the quote by Joseph Smith in The Living Christ, when he says, "The fundamental principles of our religion is the testimony of the apostles and prophets concerning Jesus Christ, that he died, was buried, and rose again the third day, and ascended up into heaven. And all other things pertaining to our religion are only appendages to these." And this is the season of giving, right? And Jesus Christ gave his life. And I think we focus on that. And his, you know, his birth as well. That's the Christmas focus. And then when we come around to Easter, we get to focus on the resurrection. And what an amazing time to live in. What a hard time to live in. But when we rely on Christ, it becomes a growth process. And we are the Latter-day Saints. And what an opportunity, what a great opportunity to be a part of this generation and to go through these times of hardship and being able to feel the Savior's comfort and being able to look forward to the second coming. It got me so excited when you started talking about that, Mom. And what if he did come during this Christmas time? It'd be so fun. But are we prepared? Are we ready to meet him? Are we going to recognize him? Are we living our life in a way that that we recognize the Savior when he returns back to the earth? And I sure hope that I am, and I sure hope that I'll recognize him. And I guess this Christmas season, just strive to do that, to get at a place to where you feel confident when your mission president or tells you, you know, that to read these sections or to when the Savior comes. We're going to have moments throughout our life that we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to be confident to when the Savior comes and shows himself unto us. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Chase, for sharing that. Thank you, Jessica, and thank you, Mom, for being willing to come. You know, I know it was a sacrifice. And I don't know why. I don't know why, because
you are awesome.
Your insights were pretty awesome. She was all nervous and was like, I don't want to come on. I don't want to talk. Well, I have nothing good to say. And then obviously you guys all just heard that was not true.
Yeah,
you
know,
lots
absolutely.
Of great things to say. But just want to close with my testimony before we end the episode. Just that in conjunction with all three of you and what you've said, I hope that during this Christmas season that we can remember what it's truly about. You know, it's about the Savior, but not just about him. You know, it's about being like him. You know, in that this season of giving, right? And I think there's a lot of cool things we do around Christmas time that make it easier for us to act like the Savior would and to give in the way that he gave for us. And, you know, I guess my challenge would be that let's try to find a way to make that a permanent fixture of our character, you know, in our personalities, that we can have this motivation and this desire to give all the time, and not just during the month of December, you know. And you know, I'm grateful. I love what you talked about, Mom, about showing up, you know, and that. Because that's what the Savior does for me. You know, he shows up. And like you said, I think we can all do a little better job of showing up, you know, for him and for those that we love. And Mom, you're the perfect example of that in my life. You know, you've always, always shown up for me. No matter what. And you are a Christ-like example for me in that way. And I hope we can all be like that, you know, this Christmas season, because I think it's what our Heavenly Father wants, and I think it's why this is such a special season for people. Whether you believe or not, you can feel it. You know, you can feel it in this Christmas season. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. You know, this has been another episode of 2-Point Conversion. You can find us anywhere that you find your podcasts, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, BYU Radio. New episodes are released every Monday. You know, we hope you enjoyed our special Christmas episode with our awesome moms here, and we look forward to spending every week with you guys. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
2-Point Conversion is a production of BYU Radio.